Thank you for downloading the Lancashire Mining Museum Mining Trail audio guide. This audio guide will give information at each stopping point and directions to the next point on the map. Once you have arrived at the starting point, please press play. After each direction, you will hear a long beep where you should press pause on your device. Once you have followed the directions, press play to hear information about the relevant point on the map. This will be followed by the next set of directions.
Trail 1, Astley to Tilsley, disabled vehicular access route. An approximately 30-minute circular driving route of 7 miles, 11 kilometres, with 14 stops, so total time required around 1.5 hours. 1. Lancashire Mining Museum, Astley Green Colliery, 1908 to 1970. The Clifton and Kersley Coal Company sank the two new shafts off Higher Green Lane using the German drop shaft method, the first to do so in England, because of the water and quicksands encountered. The drop shaft, or sinking drum process, involved forcing a cylinder through the heavily watered peat and loose layers to the rock head and excavating within it. The seams went under chat moss, which meant water was continually dripping down, making work very wet and very hot. The standing headgear, one of two formerly here, is the last surviving of the former South Lancashire coalfield. A colliery railway moved coal from the screens to the Liverpool and Manchester Railway, but some coal was transported to power stations at Trafford Park and Stretford using the Bridgewater Canal. Sadly, there was a mining accident at Astley Green on the 6th of June 1939, when five men, including the manager, died in an explosion of fire damp. But in 1956, 36-year-old deputy Alf Hughes received the Daily Herald Order of Industrial Heroism, or the Workers' VC, for rescuing 30-year-old electrician Brian Walker when he was being dragged into a mechanical coal-cutting and conveying machine. Alf was presented with his medal at Astley and Tilsley Miners' Welfare Institute, or Gin Pit Club, which we will visit later. Outside of the museum, now a village green, once stood the pit head baths, canteen and medical centre, designed for the Miners' Welfare Committee by architect C. Kemp. They were built in 1935 to 1936 at a cost of over £24,000. Leave the museum, drive up the road and turn right onto Higher Green Lane. Continue to the traffic lights on the East Lancs Road. Cross the East Lancs Road and stop on the left-hand side of Higher Green Lane just before the double yellow lines begin, being careful not to block anyone's driveway. 2. The Liverpool East Lancashire Road, or East Lancs Road, A580, which links Walton to Salford, was opened by George V on July the 18th in 1934. It was designed to connect Manchester and East Lancashire to the port of Liverpool and was the UK's first purpose-built intercity highway. Unfortunately, it cut Astley in half, isolating Astley Green and destroying some of the local farms, e.g. Horridge and Myrtle Grove farms. Astley is believed to predate the Norman Conquest. The name is thought to derive from the Anglo-Saxon for East Field and was first recorded at Astley around 1200. An alternative version is that it means East or Ast of Lee. Like most of the surrounding area, the economy was originally agriculture-based, combined with small-scale domestic textile industries. Cheese and brickmaking were also strong industries, with small-scale coal mining beginning in the 17th century. On the opposite side of the road stands 548 Manchester Road, the Willoughbys, or the Doctor's House. From 1921 to 1944, this was the home of Dr. Sidney Hamilton Ryan, colliery doctor for Astley Green Colliery, who conducted the autopsy reports after the 1939 explosion. On the right-hand side, behind the second tree at No. 21 Coach Road, lived John Griffiths, who was an underlooker at Astley Green Colliery, a daily inspector of mines. He was killed in the 1939 explosion and is buried at Tilsley Cemetery. Coach Road was built by the owners of Dam House so that they didn't have to pay tolls at Astley Straits. Until the 1960s, it was just a rough track. Its name comes from its coach house destination. Drive to the end of Higher Green Lane and turn left onto Manchester Road. Continue to the mini roundabout and take the second turning into Church Road. Then take the first left into Astley Hall Drive. Stop near to the entrance to the car park. 3. Dam House, or Astley Hall, was built around 1595 by Adam Mort, who also established a school and chapel, St Stephen's, for the local community. The Mort family were succeeded by the Suttons and the Froggatts, the last member of which, Sarah Froggatt, raised the money to restore the house by leasing mines to John Darlington of the Astley and Tilsley Coal Company. The proviso was that the company could not have any workings within 60 yards of Dam House, or dig underneath it. When Sarah's grandson, George Wetherall, inherited the hall, he neglected it and the estate and ran up debts. In 1893, he sold it to Lee Local Board, who built a brick wall around the site and turned it into a sanatorium for people suffering from infectious diseases, including typhoid fever, scarlet fever, polio, meningitis, and puerperal fever. Although it went on to become a general hospital, it continued to treat infectious diseases, and in later years specialised in chronic disease and care of the elderly. Many miners came here to recuperate from injuries or long-term conditions caused by working underground. It closed in 1994 and was purchased and restored by the Mort's Astley Heritage Trust in 1999. St Stephen's Church was built around 1760 by Thomas Sutton, Lord of the Manor and a descendant of Adam Mort. However, in 1961, after the annual walking day, the vicar was wakened by a youth knocking at the door who informed him that the church was on fire. Despite the best efforts of 50 firemen from surrounding towns, the flames rose 50 feet above the church, reducing it to a burnt shell. Incredibly, it turned out that the youth, a young mill worker who raised the alarm, was actually the arsonist and was later caught. A new church was built a few hundred yards away in 1968. The church played its part in supporting local people during the 1912 coal strike, when a local committee was formed to supply free meals for 300 children each day, consisting of lentil soup and potato hash. Turn round in the car park, drive back down Astley Hall Drive, turn right into Church Road, then, at the mini roundabout, take the second turning into Manchester Road. Go straight across the next mini roundabout, then turn right into North Lane. Drive to the bottom of North Lane. 4. On a 1768 map, this was Coal Road, which later became North Coal Pit Lane, then just North Lane. The bricks and other materials scattered around are all that remain of Kermishaw Nook Colliery, the second largest pit owned by Manchester Collieries, a coal mining company formed in 1929 from a group of independent companies operating on the Manchester coalfield. Their headquarters were in Walkden. Collier's Wood, 130-hectare woodland, was planted as part of the Forestry Commission's Community Forest Scheme to create recreation and conservation facilities in the northwest. Trees were planted on the site of the former colliery and its slag heaps to stabilise the surface spoil, improve the soil quality and provide habitats for wildlife. The wood has over 5 kilometres of path networks and great views across the borough to Winter Hill. Nook Colliery was opened in 1866 when the Astley and Tilsley Coal and Salt Company sunk a shaft to the Rams Mine. A second shaft was sunk in 1873 to reach the Early Mine and a third to the Trencherbore Mine in 1899. The colliery also incorporated a brickworks, making productive use of the clay seams in the pit. A mineral line ran behind it to the coal tipping wharf at Marsland Green on the Bridgewater Canal. In 1954, the Early Mine was ravaged by an underground fire and production stopped for 2 years, with many miners moving to Astley Green, which became known as the Last Refuge. In 1959, the Early Mine, in collaboration with the unions, was declared uneconomic and shut, but its 400 men were employed elsewhere. In 1965, there were problems with push-button mining on the new automated coal face in the Pemberton Mine, which had been introduced for the first time in the northwest nearly a year previously. There was a month-long dispute over pay by unhappy surface workers. but the NCB was adamant that button workers should be paid the same, despite the fact that only 40 of 900 men worked on the automated face. Nook closed in August 1965 after losing up to £4,000 a day. The Nook Colliery Lodge was in the fields opposite, and in 1950, the LUT, Lancashire United Transport, pit bus, had just dropped off 60 miners when the driver hit the curb, lost control, and crashed through the lodge railings into the water. Some of the bus's passengers rescued the unconscious driver, whilst the quick-minded conductress had managed to jump off in time. The building at the end was the water tower of the Kermishaw Nook Pit Head Baths. The Coal Miners Act of 1911 ruled that coal owners must provide pit head baths if the workforce voted for them. But initially many miners were sceptical and worried that the baths would be unhygienic and spread disease. 1 shilling out of every 20 paid for mining royalties went to the Miners' Welfare Fund for the creation of pit head baths. Nooks were the 189th to be completed, one of 15 provided in Lancashire. They cost £20,698 and were designed to cater for 1,200 males and 60 to 70 female employees. They also contained equipment for first aid dressing, boot cleaning, filling of water bottles, drying and conditioning of clothes, etc. They were formally opened in 1937 by Miss Edith Stretch, who was a pit brow lass employed on the screen sorting coal. She made colliery history as the first woman in the country to perform such a ceremony. Miss Stretch said it was the wives and mothers who would derive the greatest benefit from the baths, because however careful one is when dealing with pit clothes, there is always dirt and dust flying about. Although women and children had been banned from working underground from 1842, many men were still unhappy with them working at the surface. Their main concerns were bad manners and language, personal safety, neglect of their families and domestic duties, and, of course, the trousers that many pit brow lasses wore. Despite this, a letter to the Times described them as colliery Venuses, and they featured on many postcards. In 1886, there were 1,623 women in Lancashire working on the pit brow, and they and others around the country successfully campaigned against a bill to stop them working at the collieries. Kermishaw Nook was one of the last two pits in Lancashire to employ pit brow lasses. The other was Astley Green. In 1956, there were 22 women working in their gaily coloured turbans at Kermishaw Nook. But due to a 2-year agreement between the National Union of Miners, the NUM, and the National Coal Board, the NCB, they were replaced by men who might end up otherwise redundant. Turn the vehicle around and drive back down North Lane. Turn left onto Manchester Road, then at the mini roundabout take the first left into Princess Avenue. Drive until you reach the third turning on your left and turn into Lay Road, following the sign for Gin Pit Village. Continue along Lay Road, then turn left into School Street and turn the vehicle around to face the Welfare Institute site opposite. 5. Gin Pit Colliery, 1866 to 1958, which was situated to your right. It was thought to be named after the original horse gin, which was short for engine, used to raise cut coal from underground. John Darlington sank a pit, Astley Colliery, in the 1840s, which subsequently became the site of Gin Pit Colliery. When Darlington died in the early 1850s, his pit eventually passed to Samuel Jackson, a salt merchant and owner of Bedford Colliery, who later established the Astley and Tilsley Coal and Salt Company in 1864. Gin Pit worked the Cromborg and 6-foot mines. When they were worked out, the Brassy Mine was developed. A narrow gauge tramway, worked by horses, was built to transport coal from the pit. The colliery closed in 1958. This is one of the original Gin Pit village streets, built by the Astley and Tilsley Coal and Salt Company to accommodate its workers, some of whom moved here from Staffordshire. Peace Street, Madden Street and Lord Street were named after former company directors. The end house next to the former school building was a manager's house. The Rowland family ran the colliery at the turn of the century. By 1920 there were more than 570 residents and a pie shop and chip shop, but the village was nicknamed the Holy City because it didn't have a pub or a church. Following the pit's closure, Jim Pitt became isolated, with poor roads and bus service and not even a phone box, which made it the perfect location for Granada TV's 1970s drama series Sam, about a boy growing up in a coal mining village during the interwar period. It also featured more recently in the 2022 BBC TV series Sherwood, a murder mystery set in a former Nottinghamshire mining village. Note the Patras plates on the buildings, which had to be added to protect them against vibrations and subsidence. In October 1930, the fourth annual ambulance competition of the Manchester Collieries Limited was held in Gin Pitt's Wesleyan School with Dr. R.A. Dench of Tilsley, father of Judy Dench, as one of the examiners. Astley and Tilsley Miners Welfare Institute, or Gin Pitt Club, and Recreation Ground. During the 1926 general strike, the miners asked their employers for a strip of land to lay a tennis court. The strike was the largest industrial dispute in Britain's history, lasting for 9 days. Coal owners were increasing hours and cutting pay without improving working conditions and safety, so when they announced their intentions to reduce wages further, they were met with fury by the Miners' Federation, who demanded not a penny off the pay, not a minute on the day. The Trades Union Council, the TUC, announced a general strike in defence of the miners' wages and working hours. But when it was announced that the unions could face potential legal action, it was reluctantly called off. The miners had to accept lower wages and longer working hours, and the 1927 Trade Disputes Act was introduced, which banned sympathy strikes as well as mass picketing, which is still in force today. But the land for the tennis court was agreed and opened at the end of the strike. From this sprang the idea of an institute, which was built by the men using bricks from Nook Colliery Brickworks. The Welfare Hall opened in 1927 with 3 billiard tables, a bar, snug, lounge library and reading room, tennis courts, cricket and football pitches and 2 bowling greens. When the UK coal mining industry was taken under state ownership on vesting day on the 1st of January 1947, the Tilsley and Atherton area celebrated with a concert at the Welfare Institute, which then came under the control of the Coal Industry Social Welfare Organisation. All of the miners paid into this, which ran miners' welfares and the miners' convalescent homes. The cricket, football and tennis facilities now belong to Wigan MBC. In June 1956, the Welfare Club hosted the presentation of the Workers' VC to Alf Hughes. Turn left and drive into the car park of the Miners' Institute for refreshments and WC. Or turn right into Lay Road and drive back to the junction with Prince's Road, which becomes Astley Street at this point. Turn left onto Astley Street and drive until you see the entrance to St George's Park on your left. Turn into the entrance road and turn the vehicle round. Six. St George's Park, home of Tilsley RUFC, which was previously part of the site of St George's Colliery. Known locally as Back at Church Pit, it was started in 1866 when 2 shafts were sunk to the Rams Mine. A third shaft, sunk in 1884, provided access to the Trencherbone Mine and was later deepened to the Early Mine. In 1903, engine winder Samuel Short was lowering the cage full of men when he had a sudden heart attack. Incredibly, before he collapsed, he managed to apply the brake to the engine and left the men suspended, but died immediately afterwards. Director Mr. Peace later unveiled a memorial to him at Lee Cemetery, see Trail 2, paying tribute to his last almost superhuman thought about the safety of others whose lives he held in his hand. The colliery worked the 7 foot until 1929, when it became part of Manchester Collieries. St George's Colliery and Gin Pitt Colliery were connected in the late 19th century to improve the ventilation in the underground workings and became a single colliery in both legal and working terms. During World War II, so many miners had been drafted into the armed forces that men had to be conscripted to work in the coal mines. They were selected by a National Service Registration Number ballot and became known as the Bevan Boys. They included Eric Morecambe, Stanley Baxter and Nat Lofthouse, who worked at Mosley Common Pit for 4 years.
St George's ceased coal production in 1941, but was retained for ventilation purposes and as a training pit until 1964. The Tyldesley Rugby Football Union Club was founded in 1881 and took part in the momentous meeting in Huddersfield in 1895, which resulted in the breakaway sport of rugby league being formed. Tyldesley competed in the first rugby league season in history later that year, but was the first club to revert back to playing rugby union in 1911. The club played at Wells Street before moving to St George's Park on Astley Street in November 2001. We will soon cross the guided busway, which follows the route of the Tyldesley Loop railway line that ran between 1869 and 1969. The station stood at the bottom of Waring Street. Coal was the primary motivation for building local railways. The Lee to Bolton line was the first public railway in Lancashire, opening in 1828, some 2 years before the acclaimed Liverpool to Manchester railway. The Bolton Lee railway was extended to Kenyon Junction around 1831 to join the LMR, and some 30 years later, a new line from Patricroft passed through Eccles, Monton, Worsley and Ellenbrook before reaching Tyldesley, with a new junction completing the loop with the Lee-Bolton line. Turn left onto Astley Street. Continue towards Tyldesley, crossing the guided busway, and turn right into Upper George Street. Drive past the large red brick building on your right, then turn into the car park next to it on your right. 7. The Art Nouveau Technical School was built in 1903 under the 1889 Technical Institutes Act. This gave county councils and the urban sanitary authorities the power to levy a penny tax to support the education of apprentices and mechanics and to provide instruction on a wide range of technical subjects. Educational courses in mining were particularly important, and in 1911 to 1912 a new state-of-the-art apprentices training suite was constructed in the basement to resemble a mine's roadway and teach the principles of mining ventilation. It is believed to be unique in the country. It is open to the public on occasions under the auspices of Tyldesley Historical Society. Exit the car park into Johnson Street South. Continue to the top of the street, then turn left into Elliot Street, and, if possible, park in a bay outside the building immediately on your left, on the corner. 8. 178 to 180 Elliot Street was originally the Miners Hall, now the 180 Dance and Fitness Centre. Robert Isherwood, agent of the Leon District Miners Association from 1875 to 1905. Isherwood was born in Tyldesley in 1845 and worked in the coal industry from the age of 9. In 1870 he established a successful building business and later ran 2 grocery businesses, but continued to play an active role in the mining community. He was treasurer of the Lancashire and Cheshire Miners Federation and vice president of the Miners Permanent Relief Society. He was also a JP and a councillor on the Tyldesley Local Board and later the Urban District Council. It was Robert Isherwood's idea to develop a meeting place for miners and their families, and the building opened in 1894. It was home to the Tyldesley and Astley Miners Association, which formed in 1862 and was a member of the Lancashire and Cheshire Miners Federation. When registered as a trade union in 1907, its membership was 3,351. The main hall could seat around 750 people, and from 1908 the NCT animated picture company screened films there. Sadly, as the industry declined locally, the hall could not be maintained and was sold. Visit Cafe Elliot at 193 to 195 Elliot Street for refreshments and WC, or continue along Elliot Street. Take your first right into Blossom Street. Drive to the end of the street, then turn right into Shuttle Street. 9.
Opposite, now a scout hut, is a former primitive Methodist chapel built in 1875. Nearby, in Milk Street, is the former Welsh Calvinistic chapel built in 1878.
Different nationalities flocked into the town to work in the pits, including many from Wales.
so when their families followed, they needed places to worship. In the early days, Welsh Methodists and Baptists prayed and sang together, but a later split led to two separate chapels being built, one in Shuttle Street and the other in Milk Street. The Milk Street Chapel is now home to Tilsley Band, which can trace its origins to 1877 and has a history of involvement with local mining events. The Baptist Chapel has been demolished and a small block of apartments built on the site. Continue along Shuttle Street as it bends to the right, then turn left onto Manchester Road. Take the third turning on your left into Peel Hall Avenue. Drive partway around the central green and stop. 10. The green space in the middle of the housing estate is the former site of one of the yew tree colliery shafts. The colliery took its name from the farm where George Green of Wharton Hall, Little Holton, sunk a shaft in 1845. Green, Holland and Company, later to become Tilsley Coal Company Limited in 1860, sunk two shafts to the 6 feet mine, which were later deepened to the 7 feet mine. In 1858, a fireman failed to turn up to inspect a part of the workings in the Cromburgh mine, but the men were still allowed down, and an explosion took place. Not much gas was fired, but most of the miners died from suffocation caused by the afterdamp. 24 men and boys were killed, making it Tilsley's worst mining disaster. The youngest was 11-year-old drawer William Beswick, who was found with his arms around his older brother Michael, who was 13. They both lived on Wells Street. Thomas Beswick, believed to be the boy's father, also died. Most of the dead were buried in St George's graveyard. The burial register lists 14 of the 23 men and boys killed in the yew tree colliery explosion on the 11th of December 1858, that they were buried in the churchyard, though there is no marker for the grave. Another man died a week later due to his injuries. Some accounts state 25, but one man rather shamefacedly turned up a few days after the reports, having been gallivanting. The underground workings of the pit extended under the church, which is thought to mark the seat of the explosion. Yew Tree closed in 1910, but later the site provided access to Clewith Colliery. In the 1950s and early 1960s, it was a distribution centre for road hauliers, delivering coal to exotic places such as Radcliffe Paper Mills. Return to the entrance to the estate, then turn left onto Manchester Road. Stop on Manchester Road, opposite the entrance to Rowe Street, which is the first street on your right. 11. The Tilsley Banks, locally pronounced as Bonks, where the foothills of the Pennines begin. The area to the east of Well Street was known as the Jig Brow, a name which comes from the self-acting inclined track used in mines to lower filled coal tubs and raise empty ones. The Jig was a collection of steeply terraced rows running down the 45-degree slope from Manchester Road down to the railway line. Most of them were built to accommodate the miners. In the late 19th century, the Tilsley Coal Company Limited leased land under the fields at the bottom of Well Street to dig for coal, but their tunnels trespassed onto Ormerod's Banks estate land, leased by the Astley and Tilsley Coal Company Limited. When the latter discovered that their coal had been mined, they started a long dispute, which eventually went to the High Court. The Tilsley Coal Company Limited claimed that the trespass was unintentional, but they were still ordered to pay damages of £3,000 to the Astley and Tilsley Coal Company Limited. However, the company overcame its losses and continued until 1947, when it was taken over by the NCB. George Green built a tramway, worked by cable, to transport coal down the Tilsley Banks to Astley, where horse-drawn wagons took it to the Bridgewater Canal. It crossed Manchester Road just after Rowe Street. It was later replaced by Green's Sidings Mineral Line, with locomotives passing under the Manchester Road Bridge. This had restricted headroom, so they were built to a reduced loading gauge. The first locomotive named Tilsley was delivered in 1867. When Yew Tree Colliery closed, the tipping plant and sidings by the canal were sold to the Clifton and Kersley Coal Company to be used by its colliery at Astley Green. Drive along Manchester Road until you reach the traffic lights. Turn right into Hoff Lane, cross the guided busway and turn left into Tilsley Cemetery. 12. Tilsley Cemetery opened in 1878. Walk up to the circle of monuments in the middle of the cemetery to Area F. Just behind the war memorial, you will find a granite memorial for Robert Isherwood, the Tyldesley Miners' agent and treasurer of the Lancashire and Cheshire Miners' Federation. Walk back between the circle of monuments. To the left of the path is the Roman Catholic area of the cemetery, Area K. The sixth grave along on the back row belongs to Joseph Keegan, who was killed in the Astley Green explosion in 1939, aged 38. From Henry Street in Tyldesley, he was a fireman, a deputy who holds a certificate to fire shots. There are lots of other miners' graves in the cemetery. Many of the more recent ones have a miner's lamp carved into their headstones, acknowledging how much their job was a part of their lives and, sometimes, their deaths. Return to Hoff Lane and turn left towards Astley. It becomes Henfold Road just before Moss O'Lee Bridge, which crosses the Eleanor Brook. Continue along Henfold Road, then turn left into Garrett Lane, which is named after Garrett Hall. Stop at the school. Garrett Hall succeeded Astley Hall as the chief manor house of Tyldesley after the original Tyldesley family split up their estates in the 14th century. As its importance diminished, it became a farmhouse with a corn mill, which was later steam operated. The farmhouse, a listed building, was recently subject to a major fire and its future is now uncertain. Lancashire Education Committee opened a new boys' secondary school here in 1935, and the former board school in Elliot Street became a girls-only school. The Tyldesley Boys' County Secondary School had a 40-year life until 1975, when the school combined with the newly built girls' school to become Fred Longworth High School. The senior boys' school became Garrett Hall Primary School soon after, to provide primary education for the children of all the new local housing. 19th century maps show a former tannery in this area and a shallow colliery known as Henfold Colliery. Turn the vehicle round and return to Henfold Road. Continue until you reach Coach Road on your left. Turn into Coach Road, stop at the end of Coach Road at the end of the double yellow lines on your left.
Cross Hillock Colliery stood on the site of the petrol station up ahead to the left.
It was opened in 1869 by the Astley and Tyldesley Coal and Salt Company, but only had a short life until it closed in 1885 due to flooding. This is where Joseph Rowson sadly lost his life. Although some pit houses still remain, every other trace has vanished. The area is probably named after a stone cross erected during Catholic times. You can only turn left here, so turn left into Manchester Road, then find a suitable place to turn the vehicle around to return to the opposite side of Manchester Road. Turn left into Higher Green Lane, cross the East Lancs Road to return to the Lancashire Mining Museum. This is the end of Trail 1, Astley to Tyldesley, Disabled Vehicular Access Trail.